Revelation 15, page 1344 in your Schofield Reference Bible. The second verse is the text verse. We'll be reading all the chapter, verses 1 through 8, and we'll read the verses responsively. May we stand to do so. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, wherein them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, and the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And may we pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for your word. Now we look forward to the preaching of it. We pray for your help in this service in a mighty and real and wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to turn again, please, to Revelation chapter 15. I want to just take a few moments to teach there, and then I want to pray, and then I want to bring the message. I want to speak this morning on this subject. If you have fire in the peace, then you can have peace in the fire. Let me say it again. If you can have fire, or if you have fire in the peace, then you can have peace in the fire. Look at verse 1 of Revelation chapter 15. By the way, I'm not going to teach you or preach this morning any kind of prophetic message. This is a tribulation passage, though I will not preach at all about the tribulation period. But there is something in the tribulation period that's going to happen that is applicable in every era and every life. In verse 1, And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And here's my text. And I saw it, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, may I say this before I go further? This sea of glass here is talking, I think, about water as calm and as still, as if it were glass. Tranquil, no rippling on the water, no waves on the water whatsoever. Just peace. It's clear, and as even as glass. Ever seen a day when there was not a ripple of wind? And you looked out and you saw a calm water. And it looked like that you could walk on it. No waves, no rustling of the water at all, no wind. It was just peaceful. That's what it's saying here. Now let's look at it again. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. That's interesting. Fire was in this sea of glass. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, talking about the Antichrist, and over the number of his name, that's the 666, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Here are God's redeemed people. victorious over the beast, victorious over the false prophet, victorious over the enemy of the tribulation period. And they're standing on this sea of glass, and they have harps, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now look at me, get the picture, and then I'll pray. Here you have an awful tribulation period. The time of great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Unbelievable persecution. Suffering and heartache. But he saw a sea water like glass. Just as still as if you held a piece of glass up. That's how still the water was. But mingled in that water was fire. And they sang the victory song and played the harps. I want to speak this morning on this subject. If you have fire in the peace, you can have peace in the fire. I hope you'll listen. Father, I don't have any unimportant sermons to preach. We don't conduct any unimportant services here at First Baptist Church. One of these days we'll all be gone. Another will stand behind this pulpit, and others will sit in these pews. But while the baton is in our hand, we must be faithful. Give us your help this morning, and give us attentiveness to the man of God who presents the truth of God from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me and listen carefully. I'll guarantee you this is true. I'll guarantee you it's true. The most peaceful people in this room this morning are those who've been most in the fire. I'll guarantee you the most nervous people in this room this morning, the most easily riled, the ones with the hottest tempers, the ones with the near nervous breakdown, I guarantee you they're the folks who've not been through many fires. There's something about the fire that creates peace in order to go through the fire. There they stand, the redeemed, standing on a sea of glass, mingled with fire. These are they who've been through the tribulation period and have been saved. These are they who've seen the famine like the world has never seen. These are they who've seen warfare such as like the world has never tasted. These are they who've seen disease. And I have no doubt in my mind but that the AIDS situation in America today is a pre-tribulation disease. I believe with all my heart it's one of the diseases that'll ravish this world in the tribulation period. I have no doubt about it. It's God's judgment on a wicked, perverted, adulterous, lesbian, homosexual society is what it is. But these are they who've been through all of that. Looking through the telescope of prophecy, we see them standing in peace. They have harps in their hands they're about to play. They have songs in their heart they're about to sing. Their souls are filled with joy. Tranquility has gripped their lives. And they're standing on a sea of glass in spite of the great tribulation period being in progress. This is not after the tribulation period. In fact, you read on down in chapters 15 and 16, you'll find some more plagues poured out on the earth. And these are they that are in the tribulation period, who are redeemed with the blood of the Lamb, who have been through fire such as the world has never seen,
And yet they're so calm, they're playing harps and singing songs of redemption. And they're so calm that it is described as a sea of glass. But now, wait a minute. That sea of glass is mingled with fire. God's peace is no peace that's caused by absence from the fire. Now, listen to me carefully. You folks this morning who have peace because you've never been through the fire, you don't have peace. Because your peace has no fire in it. And if you have no fire in your peace, you have no peace in the fire. There is no peace caused by absence of the fire. This is a peace caused by the fire. This is no peace caused by the absence of struggle. This is a peace caused by struggle. This is no peace caused by the absence of heartache. This is a peace caused by heartache. This is no peace caused by the absence of burden. This is a peace caused by burden. This is no peace caused by the absence of pain. This is a peace caused by pain. This is no peace caused by the absence of sorrow. This is a peace caused by sorrow. This is no peace caused by an absence of tears. This is a peace caused by tears. Now, you listen to me carefully. Don't you run from trials. Trials bring peace. Don't you run from tears. Don't you run from heartaches. Tears and heartaches are peacemakers. They bring peace. There is no real peace that is not mingled with fire. There is no real peace that is not mingled with struggle. There is no real peace that is not mingled with sorrow, heartaches, and burdens. Real, honest peace is fostered in the fire, and the fire is a part of the peace-making process. Let me illustrate what I mean. When I was a paratrooper in World War II, we went through hell. I mean that figuratively, but brother, we went through it. I cannot tell you what they caused us to endure in paratroop training. I cannot tell you the kind of training we had to go through. I'm talking about 10 miles running every day without stopping. I'm talking about 90 push-ups with a full field pack on your back every day. I'm talking about 25 push-ups with one hand, your right hand, every day. I'm talking about 3 to 4 hours of nothing but calisthenics. You fellows that went through the paratroopers back in the days in World War II, they treated you like slaves. You wouldn't believe what we endured. This story, every time I tell this story, somebody says they don't believe it's true. So I'm going to tell it this morning so somebody else can call me a liar. But it's true. We had in the paratroopers a colonel that went through training with me. See, you could be a colonel or a major or an officer. And if you wanted to be a paratrooper, you had to go back through basic paratroop training under the leadership of sergeants. And you take when they got an officer, a captain or a lieutenant or a captain or a major or a colonel, and he went through paratroop training, these sergeants really took it out on him. They wanted to get back at him. I'd love to have been a sergeant then. But at that time. Anyway, we had this colonel went through paratroop training with us. We had a big, what they call the sawdust pit. We did all of our exercising in a big sawdust pit. It must have been the size of these two sections right here, a big square sawdust pit. All of our calisthenics were done in that sawdust pit. But they called the roll one day. We were standing in the sawdust pit, ready for calisthenics. They called the roll. The colonel was there, big guy, about 6'4", weighed about 225 pounds, giant of a fella. And the sergeant called the roll, and he got out the colonel's name. The colonel said, "Here." And the sergeant said, "That's here, sir." And the colonel said, "Here." He wasn't going to have any little penny ante sergeant run him. And the sergeant said, "Give me 25, colonel." You folks in the paratroopers and know what "give me 25" means. What does that mean? 25 what? That's push-ups. "Give me 25. And the colonel said, "You say sir when you say give me 25. And the sergeant said, "Give me 50, sir." And the colonel got mad. and spat, spit, spat, sput. He sputtered in the. He spit, spat. He got this stuff in his mouth and down there, and the sawdust. And the sergeant made that colonel. This is what you won't believe. It's true. He made that colonel get down and dig that spittle out with his teeth out of the sawdust. And we just laughed and cried and cried and cried. And he had to, and then he had to take that spittle in his mouth, keep it in his mouth with the sawdust that he got when he dug the spittle out. And he had to run for 30 minutes around the sawdust pit with his hands in the air, hollering, "I've been a bad colonel. I've been a bad colonel. I've been a bad colonel." One of the happiest days of my life. Now, you can't believe what we endured. I mean that. It was rough, folks. You just don't know. But you can't believe what we endured. Now, look, they were our friends. Why? They put fire in us. We went through hell. Do you know why we went through hell? Because in a few months, we were going to have to go through hell. And those that could bear up in on the battlefield had to have the battlefield inside of them while they were training. I'm saying that there is no real peace that is not born by and in the fire. If you've never been in the fire, you don't have real peace. And when you go in the fire, you can't take the fire because you don't have the fire in you. The real peace of God has fire in it. That's one reason why I think that God has planned it so young married couples have a tough time. I think that the one reason you have a tough go and the bills stack up and doctor bills and so forth and you have a tough time. I think one reason for that is you've got some heartache out yonder. You think you've got troubles when you're 30, you wait till you're 55, 50, 55, and 60. I mean, you've got big league problems then. You've got big league heartaches then. And that's one reason why God allows that. God places the fire in you while you're young. You have it rough. Bills stack up. Hard time making the payments. Little children sick. Have a struggle. Why? Because God is preparing you to go into the fire. And He's placing in your peace some fire, because only the peace in which there is fire can go through the fire when the fires of a middle life and old age come. You take college, for example. You know why God puts young preachers through the fire in college? Because He's putting fire in their peace so they can someday have peace in the fire. You think you're having it rough at Howells Anderson College. You wait till you get out yonder in the battle. You wait till you get out on the battlefield where it's not mock anymore. It's a real battle. And God is simply saying, you're not going to have peace out yonder in the future. When you face the fire, you'll not be able to give your people peace nor have peace unless you have fire in you while you're young. And God is saying here, these people can have peace. Tribulation's going on. Good night. Don't turn to it. But listen to this. What's going to happen in chapter 16? The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noise and grief a sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial, and on the sea it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. How could these people have peace through that? How could they go through this fire of tribulation with peace? Oh, anyway, because it had peace that was made with fire, and peace that has fire goes through the fire. Goes on to say, the waters become blood. And the fourth angel says, men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. And the fifth angel said that darkness comes and men gnaw their tongue for pain. And on it goes. Later on comes a bunch of unclean frogs on the face of the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Quit griping because you got some problems. God is using those problems in the recipe of peace. You have no problems, you'll never have any peace. You have no struggles, you'll never have any peace. Quit your complaining. Quit running from it. Take what God has to give you. Stay in the will of God. Stay on the battlefield for God. Stay up on the wall. Stay busy for God. And don't whine because you got some problems. Because those problems you have are making peace for you that you're going to need someday when the fires come. And so on this, in this tribulation period, when the awful, awfulest, most awful time in the history of mankind on the face of the earth that ever was or shall be is going on. Here we have people with harps about to play them. Here we have people with songs about to sing them. And they're as tranquil as a body of water that is as still as a piece of glass. But now what causes that tranquility? It's caused because there was fire inside of the piece. Now follow me carefully. The fire becomes a part of you. It is a part of your peace. It is what causes you. Now follow this very, very carefully. From whom comes peace? From Jesus. He's called the Prince of Peace. Nobody has peace unless he flees to the Prince of Peace. Now follow me carefully. Here's a young person, and he's facing some heartaches. He's facing some trials. Some burdens are hard to bear, and the tears are easy to come. And that young person, he says he has the battles and the heartaches. Now what happens? That causes him to run to Jesus. The burden causes him to run to the only person who has peace. And then Jesus gives him peace because he had a burden. You don't run to Jesus. You don't pray for God to help you while you're eating a T-bone steak at Disneyland. You don't fall on your face while you're riding the loop-a-loop and say, "Oh, God, give me grace today." You don't fall on your face while you're buying a brand new car or trying out a brand new house or buying new furniture and say, "Oh, God, give me grace to bear this." Nobody sits a Thursday morning when you open the presents or Wednesday night, you opened your presents and the tree was brightly shining and the lights were on. And your opening presence, nobody said, "Oh God, give me grace to bear this." No, you didn't flee to the Prince of Peace. You flee to the Prince of Peace when you got trouble. And that's the only place you can get peace. So thank God for troubles because they send you to the only place where you can find real peace. Troubles are messengers that say, "Go to Him. He has the peace." So the trouble sends you to Him who has the peace. He gives you peace to go through your troubles. The fire sends you to Him who has the peace, and you flee to Him, and only He who has the peace gives you that peace in the fire, and that peace you take back with you, and you can go through the fire. But you have no real peace unless that peace has fire and struggle and burden and heartache. I'll say it again. I'll guarantee you the people in this room this morning who have the most tranquility and the most peace and the most serenity, I'll guarantee you they're the people who've been through the fires the most. And I'll guarantee you something else. The people that complain the least about their sorrow are those who are sorrowing the most. And I'll guarantee you this. The people in this room this morning who complain the least about feeling bad are the people who feel worse. And I'll guarantee you this morning that the complainers and the gripers and the pity seekers and the pity trip takers in this room this morning are those people that suffer the least and hurt the least. Why? Because there is something about the fire that makes you realize you can't get peace yourself. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. And you come to the fires of life and the burdens of life and the problems and sorrows and heartaches and tears, all of a sudden you say, "I've got to have God's help." And you rush to the altar or to the patch of the wood somewhere, and you fall on your face and say, "Oh, God, I've got to have you help, your help." And the Prince of Peace pours His peace into you, and that peace He pours into you, the fire is what brought you to Him. And the fire that brought you to Him brings you to one who can give you peace. It doesn't matter what fire you go through in the future. Bless God, you can have the peace. But you'll never have peace in the fire until you have fire in the peace. A peace that is not fostered in trouble is not real peace. A peace that is not embryoed in burden will is not be appeased. The people, I say it again, that have the peace in their soul this morning
are those who've had the most heartaches, the most burdens, and the most sorrows. The people that I've known, for example, you know, love is purified by being hated. You'll never really love till you love somebody that hates you. You will never really love till you have an enemy and you love him. That's what real love is all about. Real love is not loving somebody who's lovable. Real loving is loving somebody who hates your insides, like see you dead, like to destroy you. And you love that person, you've got real love.
And you do not have real love unless it is purified by hatred. You don't have real courage unless it's purified by fear. You don't have real faith unless it's purified by doubt.
And you don't have real peace unless it's purified by fire. The people that I've known who love the most are the ones who are hated the most. If I chose the three men in all my life that I believe love more than any three men I've ever known, Lester Roloff, John Rice, and Bob Jones, Sr.
If I chose the three men in America who had the most enemies in my lifetime, John Rice, Lester Roloff, and Bob Jones, Sr. Because unless your love is fostered by hatred, it's not true love. Unless your courage is fostered in fear, it's not true courage.
Let me take the matter of love for a minute. Don't misunderstand me now. When you have the right kind of love, you know what it is. Now follow me carefully here.
And the more you have the right kind of love, the more you wish you had some of the love from somebody else that you have for them. Are you understanding what I'm saying right there? Let me say it again. Those that have real, true, Bible, scriptural love. I'm not talking about love that loves the beautiful and hates the ugly. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I just have the love of God in my soul and I hate His guts. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real love that loves your enemies and prays for those that curse you and bless those that hate you. I'm talking about that does good to those that do evil to you.
Once you have that love, you want it. You wish you could find somebody to give it to you. And so you scout around to find somebody to give it to you, but there's nobody to find that can give it to you. So what do? You run to God. He can give it to you. You see. I want to say this. The deeper you love, the more you'll wish you had that kind of love given to you.
And the deeper you love and the more you wish you had that kind of love given to you, the less likely you are to find that kind of love because it's very, very scarce. And as you realize how unlikely it is to find that kind of love, all of a sudden you hear somebody up in heaven saying, I'm the guy that has it all.
You look up to Him and flee to Him and God gives you His love. Now, I want to say this again. If you have the fire in your peace, then you can have peace in the fire.
Those who crack up are those who do not have fire in their peace.
You don't have to crack up.
Oh, Brother House, everything, going back.
No, you don't have to do that.
If your peace is made by fire, then your peace can stand the fire.
Look, I've been in the battle 40 years. I've been pastoring 40 years.
I guess there's no battle a preacher can face or fight that I haven't faced or fought. And I mean when I say this, I've got the peace of God in my soul. You know why? Because the peace I have in my soul has fire in it. And I've got fire in my peace. If I have fire in my peace, thank God, I can have peace in the fire. So I'm saying this, bear up. You either are having peace made, you're either having peace in the fire, or peace is being made in you by the fire.
Well, I want to grab every one of them and shake you and say, get what I'm saying here. If you're going through the fire this morning, there's no bad can come of it if you won't let it.
Because only one or two things is happening. You are having peace made in you by the fire. Or you have that peace and you can have peace in the fire. So if you have peace in the fire, praise God.
Boy, I like that character in Little Abner. I talk about him once in a while. His name was Joe Spitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitz He's always chewing on some kind of a weed or something. Not the kind of weed you chew on, but chewing on some kind of weed. And maybe a cloud over his head, maybe raining and tornadoes. He just went along. No problems at all. Why? Because it didn't affect him. There's a way, listen to me, there's a way that you can walk away from your mother's grave, and I know what I'm talking about. There's a way you can take that precious body that bore you beneath her breast and fed you by her breast and hugged you near her breast. There's a way you can lay that body in the grave, and while the casket's being closed, you can do like we did, and you can sing, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. You can sing victory in Jesus, as our family did. While we laid my mother's body to rest, we sang together in a loud and lusty voice, oh, victory in Jesus! There's a way you can have victory in a cemetery, and peace at a cemetery, and peace in a hospital room, and peace beneath the surgeon's knife, and peace in the battle. But you won't get that kind of peace until you get the fire in you. And God comes along and God says, I've got some fire. I want you to have peace so you can, when you go in the fire, you can have the peace in the fire. And God says, I'm going to give you a few little skirmishes here now so I can get the fire inside of you so when you get out yonder and face the big battles, you can have peace in the fire. You don't have to crack up. I don't mean to be unkind. I don't want to hurt you, but you don't have to crack up. You don't have to go to peace. Oh, I'm afraid. No, you don't have to do that. Because if you're in the fire this morning, blessed be God, there's only one or two things that can happen to you. If you will stay there and take it and come to Christ, only one or two things can happen to you. Either He's putting peace in your fire so you can have peace in the fire, or you can have peace in the fire now. And Jesus will never be as real to you as He is in the fire. In the Bible times, God's people that saw Jesus were in the fire. A Stephen stoned outside the city of Jerusalem, stoned for his preaching of the truth. And as Stephen was dying, he looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand. Where did he see him? He saw him in the fire. Where was Paul caught up into the third heaven? Saw things, heard things unlawful to utter? Where was he? He was stoned to death outside the city of Lystra. While he was outside the city of Lystra, God caught him up in the third heaven and he saw Jesus and he saw heaven. When? When he was in the fire. When did Jacob see the ladder of vision? When he was in the fire. When did John see the Patmos vision? When he was in the fire. When did Isaiah see the Lord high and holy and lifted up and his train filled the temple? In the fire. Don't be fire haters, be fire lovers. Don't run for the fire. Don't run to the fire. Don't want the fire. But I'll guarantee you, and you listen to me, I'll guarantee you there are a lot worse places than being in the fire. Why? Jesus is in the fire. The three Hebrew children didn't see him while they were playing ping pong at a local recreation center. The Hebrew children didn't see Jesus while they were caroling Christmas time. The three Hebrew children didn't see Jesus while everything was right. They saw him when they were in the fire, and the Son of God came and got beside them in the fire. That's where they, and they made it through the fire. Why? Because they had fire in them. They had already stood. They'd been in the habit of standing. When Daniel went in the lion's den, it's no big deal. Daniel had the lion's den in him way back yonder when he refused to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. He had walked alone. The fire had come inside of him. The fire was a part of him. The fire was a part of his peace. And because the fire was a part of his peace, he had peace that could stand in the fire. You got a fire burning down in here, a fire burning out there, doesn't bother you a great deal. Because the peace that Daniel had was a peace that had fire in it. And the peace that the Hebrew children had was a peace that had fire in it. I could call names all over this building. I don't know of a lady in this church that has more genuine Christian grace, charm, and peace than Eleanor Loser. Nor do I know of a lady who's been through the fire more in the last 5 years than Eleanor Loser. I don't know of a lady in this church that has more of the peace of God on her face than Mrs. Ramsey back here. And nobody in this room knows what that dear lady has been through in the last 5 years. You know why she has peace in the fire? Because the peace that she has was made with fire. And I could go on and on. Where is that little lady? The lady sits down here. Pat Cunningham comes to my office. Just found out she has multiple cirrhosis. Young lady. I'm guessing 30-ish. Young lady. Having a hard time talking plainly. Having a hard time walking plainly. Some little old college student, not even married, will come to my office. I've got to drop out of college. I just can't make it financially. I want to kick him in the shin after I busted his mouth. All over the house. I just got more burden than I can bear. And in walks little Pat Cunningham with a smile on her face. She says, "Preacher, God is so good." And there's a sweet peace on her face. Why? Because that peace was made by the fire. And the peace that is made by the fire is the same peace that if the day ever comes, when the doctor says you'll never walk again, and she's placed in a wheelchair, that day ever comes, I'll guarantee you she'll have peace in the fire, because she has a peace made by the fire. I could call name after name after name in this room this morning. There's not a happier person at Howells Anderson College than Ken Smith. Not a happier person. Ken Smith can barely walk. Ken's up, I imagine, 30-ish. Can barely walk. Always the peace of God in his soul. You know why? Because the peace was made by the fire. And now he's facing a trip to Mayo Clinic, and I don't know how many times of surgery. Listen, there's not a teenager in this church with a peace that Roy Moffitt Jr. has. "Oh," says the young lady, "oh, I just can't stand this. My hair has fallen." I did too. "But there's hope for yours, sweetie." "My hair has fallen." "Or I look a fright." "Yeah, that frown's what's causing it too." Little Roy Moffitt, he's used a surgeon's knife more than he's used knives in his kitchen. He's been cut up more than Thanksgiving turkey. Surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. You look at his face. It's always a peace. Teenager! Never known the normal life of a normal teenager. Never played on a basketball team. Never played on a football team. Or baseball team. Or wrestling team. But he has peace in the fire. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the fire made his peace. The fire made his peace. Thank God for his peace in the fire, but thank God for the fact that that peace is made by the fire. You're going through some troubles, and I don't want you to have to, except I know it's best for you. Because that's where the peace comes from. Dr. John Rice and I were in Normal, Illinois, preaching together years ago. Pastor Winninger, who was there 19 years at the Calvary Baptist Church in Normal, he said, "Dr. Howells, would you and Dr. Rice come over and pray for my wife?" And Norma was all, "My wife is not well. She stumbles and falls. She's not well. The doctor says she has multiple cirrhosis." We went over that night and had a sincere prayer for God to heal her. God did not see in his will to heal, fit to heal her the way he has many times. And in that suffering was one of the sweetest spirits you've ever seen in your life. And as she got to where she couldn't do her normal chores, there was a sweet peace that God was giving her. I was up preaching, as I do, go every year to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Dr. Winninger took me over to see his wife. She never gets out of bed. Never, as far as I know, even sets up in bed now. No complaint. Sweet look of peace on her face. Why? She has peace in the fire.
because she got her peace from the fire. As pastor, I spend most of my time with people in the fire. I spend most of my life with people that are going through the fires. I don't like to see it. I wish somehow I could keep you from it. But down in my soul, I know this. I know if you ever have peace that can take being in the fire, that peace will have to be born by the fire. So often I look at it, I say this often, graduation time for our high school. I look down and see our teenagers here, and their faces are so bright, and they're so excited. I'm finally out of that slave labor place called Hammond Baptist High School. I'm finally getting out. I look at them, and I almost wish they could stay there because I know what's going to happen in just a few days. It's just a few days till they face the realities of life and the fires come. A little baby may be born that'll never be normal. Maybe a little girl with a club foot. Maybe a husband who beat you. And maybe soon you're left alone with a child or two. I know what I'm talking about. I see it all the time. I'm thinking about little Marguerite Tunis right now. Grew up in our church. I recall when she graduated from high school. I remembered when she first started dating. And one day she gave birth to a little baby who will never be normal. Marguerite now is 40-ish, I imagine, 35, 40-ish now. She has a little girl, probably a teenager now, who has the mind of maybe a six-month-old child. Wild sometimes. But I go down and preach in Florida. Sometimes and Marguerite Tunis is in the crowd. I don't think I know a sweeter smile. I don't think I know a calmer person. Why? Because she has peace in the fire. How'd she get that peace in the fire? The fire brought it. And the fire, the peace that she has fire in it. That's the way you take life. Look, God never promised a bed of roses all the time. God never promised we wouldn't have to face battles and heartaches and burdens and sorrows. God never promised that. I want to thank God today with all of my soul for those struggles I had when I was young. I thank God today for the battles I had to face when I was a 21-year-old preacher. I thank God for the nights alone in the woods. I thank God for the struggle and the burdens and the trials. You know why? Because God was giving me a peace in which there was fire. So when the day came when I'd carry in many respects a whole nation on my shoulders and the burdens would come, I could have peace in the fire because I had fire in the peace. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. I've had people say to me so many times through these many years of being a middle-aged preacher, now an older preacher, Brother Hiles, how do you take it? How do you take it? How do you bear up in the fire? Because I got fire in the peace. When you have fire in the peace, thanks be to God and bless His holy name, you can have peace in the fire. Our Father, bless my people this morning. Bless those who are just facing the fire for the first time. Those that don't know how pain feels yet. Those who are just getting the feel of the first